Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this January 3rd, 2018. I almost said 2017. 2018, the very first show of the new year. How about that? I'm still getting used to saying 2018. It is finally here. I really hope that you all out there had a fantastic break, spending time with your loved ones, with your friends, as you ushered in the new year. Hard to believe that we are standing here on January 3rd. Unbelievable stuff. 2017 rolled on by, and I'm wishing you and yours a very happy 2018. I'll get to how my break went later on in the show, but we have a great one in store for you all out there, because I'm going to do my best to try and tackle the biggest sports stories that pertain to mid-Michigan and beyond here throughout this hour, leading all the way up until we say goodbye at 2 p.m. We will talk about, here on today's show, the bowl season. We'll have a recap of how the bowl season progressed as we now count down the days to the national championship game out in Atlanta, Georgia. Come Monday, it's going to be an SEC showdown between Alabama and Georgia. But some interesting things happened over the bowl season. It was a very good outing for most of the Big Ten teams out there, with the exception of one team. I think you all know who that squad is. I will talk about and have some really interesting thoughts as it pertains to the University of Michigan bowl loss at the hands of the South Carolina Gamecocks. And I'll play a snippet from the press conference of Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the Wolverines, as he was asked a very in-your-face and blunt question that he really didn't like. He was quite annoyed at the question, if you read his body language, if you watched his face after he answered it. So we'll have bowl game takeaways, and we'll talk about the national championship between Nick Saban's Alabama Crimson Tide and, of course, the Georgia Bulldogs. You don't want to miss that. Also, we all knew it was coming. We previewed it and had much chatter leading up to it. After the Detroit Lions finish out the year with a win over the Green Bay Packers, the Lions have fired Jim Caldwell. So, who are the leading candidates to possibly replace Jim Caldwell? And was it the right move? We'll discuss that. We'll also talk college basketball with our guy, Lansing's own Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter, producer, and host for CBS Radio out in Atlanta. And as many of you know, Michigan State men's basketball sits numero uno. That's right, ranked number one in the nation. It's a goal that Tom Izzo loves because, heck, who doesn't want to be ranked number one in the nation, to be looked at as the best college basketball program in the nation? But how will the Spartans handle that pressure? We'll have that and more with Deshaun Tate in segment B. And then on the back end of the show, we'll talk about a few Pro Football Hall of Fame candidates, all the while allowing you to be a part of the show. If you want to join the fun, multiple ways in which you can do so, just simply pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, and we'll take your calls live here on our airwaves, or you can join us via social media, multiple ways in which you can do that. Just simply go to facebook.com/currentsports. We had the live stream up and rocking right now. Many of you already weighing in below that video. Or you can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR is my official Twitter handle. Or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. While you all are weighing in, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start with some news out of the camp of Michigan State men's basketball. Michigan State sophomore men's basketball player Nick Ward. He has been named Big Ten Player of the Week. That announcement coming on Tuesday. This is the second straight week that a Spartans player has been named the league's Player of the Week following sophomore guard slash forward Miles Bridges, who earned that honor on December 26. Ward tied his season high in points with 22, rebounds with 15, and a 111-61 win over Cleveland State, and followed that up with a perfect 9-for-9 performance from the floor en route to 21 points in a 108-52 dub against Savannah State. Ward registered a pair of double-doubles to bring his season total to 4. This is the second career Big Ten Player of the Week honor for Ward, who earned that award in February of 2017, becoming the only league freshman to earn top honors in the league last season. In addition, Ward was named Freshman of the Week 4 times last year. Congratulations to Nick Ward. And again, as many of you know, Michigan State men's basketball has been ranked numero uno heading into this week of college basketball action, number one in the nation for Tom Izzo's Spartans. All right, we'll have more on Michigan State men's basketball later on this hour. Michigan State women's basketball opens the 2018 portion of the schedule tonight, concluding a two-game homestand against Northwestern at 7 p.m. inside of the Breslin Center. The Spartans are 11-4 and 1-1 in the Big Ten this season. The Wildcats are 8-8 this year and also hold a 1-1 mark in league action. The game will be streamed on BTN+. Redshirt senior guard Brandi Agee notched her first double-dub of the season in Michigan State's loss to Rutgers on December 31st, grabbing a season-high 10 boards and adding 10 points, tallying the sixth double-dub of her career. Agee has scored in double figures the last three games as part of her ninth game this season. She is second on the team in scoring, averaging 10.9 points per game. Looking forward to watching Brandi and the Michigan State women's basketball team in action tonight. We will have a two-minute drill not long after that one concludes. I'll be reporting from the Breslin Center there. All right. An emphatic surge midway through the first half gave the Michigan men's basketball team enough breathing room, and the Wolverines made it stand up, pushing past Iowa 75-68 in Tuesday's return to Big Ten play at Carver Hawkeye Arena. After stumbling to 5 turnovers in the opening 4 minutes, Michigan answered with a 22-6 run and grabbed a 32-16 lead with 7:22 to play in the first half. That propelled the Wolverines into the break with a 48-36 lead, and Iowa was lucky it was that close. Michigan reserves had 37 points coming off the bench, and Michigan will now host Purdue on January 9th. All right, the University of Arizona fired football coach, former U of M football coach as well, Rich Rodriguez, last night, shortly after a USA Today sports report that outlined how the school had grown uncomfortable with the direction of the program on the field amidst an investigation into a troubling off-the-field allegation of sexual harassment brought by a former athletic department employee last fall. Arizona fired Rodriguez without cause and said in a news release it will, quote, honor the separation terms of his contract, end quote, which would include
a $6.3 million buyout. The school confirmed in a letter signed by school president Robert Robbins and AD Dave Hickey that it hired the law firm of Cowan Dowd Quigley to conduct a comprehensive investigation in October after the initial report of misconduct by the former employee. Arizona says she, quote, declined multiple requests from the university to participate in the investigation into her allegations. In addition, she was unwilling to turn over communications that she alleged provide support for her allegations. Though the investigation, which Rodriguez did cooperate with fully, could not corroborate her claims, the former employee subsequently threatened to file a lawsuit against him and recently filed a notice of financial claim with the state attorney general's office. Rodriguez just completed his sixth year at the school, and he did admit that he had an extramarital affair. Really ugly stuff there. So Rich Rod is out at Arizona. Pro Football Hall of Famer, Ohio State legend, and current Fox Sports commentator Chris Carter harshly criticized Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh over Twitter following the Wolverines' 26-19 Outback Bowl loss to South Carolina, the coach's second consecutive loss in a New Year's Day bowl game. Now, following a game that saw Michigan really struggle on offense, Carter called Harbaugh, quote, the most overrated coach in football, and went on to say that he offered, quote, no creativity after a month of practice, end quote. He also went on to tweet that the Big Ten thanks Harbaugh for ruining the 7-0 record in bowl games. We'll have more on the gripe with Carter as it pertains to Jim Harbaugh in just a moment. The Detroit Pistons, who have won six of their past eight games, are hoping to keep the good times rolling tonight when they face the Miami Heat at American Airlines Arena. The Pistons and Heat are battling for potential playoff positioning in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Detroit is coming off an impressive home win over the powerful San Antonio Spurs, but the Pistons have been battling injury issues. The latest problem occurred, of course, last week when starting point guard Reggie Jackson went down with a sprained right ankle. He will be out at least 6 weeks. Miami hasn't been more than two games above or below 500 all season, and it hasn't won or lost more than three games in a row. The Heat also have been better on the road, 11-8, than at home, 8-9. You can catch the Detroit Red Wings tonight as well. The Winged Will, they have been playing better at home lately, and they will host the Ottawa Senators at Little Caesars Arena tonight. Detroit has really struggled on home ice the past two seasons, but has won three in a row at home for the first time since last January 14th to the 18th. The most recent triumph was a 4-1 decision over the Pittsburgh Penguins on New Year's Eve. Right winger Gustav Nyquist, he scored twice against the Penguins, including the 100th of his career. The Wings are 15-16-7 and currently out of the playoff picture. And last but not least, your Detroit Football Lions kicked off the search to find Jim Caldwell's replacement on Tuesday, interviewing the team's two coordinators, Terrell Austin and Jim Bob Cooter. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show, multiple ways in which you can do so. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, or you can join us via social media. Facebook.com/currentsports is where you can catch the live stream, or you can simply join us via Twitter. At Al Martin, WKAR, again, is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
They got better as the game went on, no doubt, and made plays to win the football game. And, you know, we didn't get the knockout punch when we needed it, you know. We didn't take advantage of the opportunities that were there. And really starting with the fumble by Sean McCune, which was not Sean McCune's fault. That was our fault. That was a coaching error. We had the wrong personnel in there, and I should have called timeout.
Coach, with the opportunities that have opened up today in the NFL, is this a fair possibility that this is the last game you can coach for Michigan?
No.
And that is how we start this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is the very first show of the new year. Happy 2018, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Really hope you begin those New Year's resolutions and start off with a bang. I know I'm a big gym advocate, and I must admit, Engineer Ian Hawley, this time of the year is bittersweet for me because I love going to the gym. You know that. But what kind of annoys me, but I get it, because summer, you're trying to change your life around. It's the new year. You want to start off healthy.
Got that resolution.
You got the resolution, right? But when you go to the gym around this time of the year, it becomes overly packed because everybody's trying to start that New Year's resolution. And let's be real. By the time like late February, early March hits, it returns back to normalcy because a lot of those New Year's resolutions to get in the gym and start to get healthier kind of go out the window. So they're just taking up space. But hey, that's neither here nor there. I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying if you're going to do it, stick with it, people. You can do this. Stick with it. Don't throw in a towel come late February. But happy New Year's to you and yours. I had a great one. I was actually down in Florida the past few days visiting my mom, my stepdad, my little sis. I saw my step-unc and his beautiful wife and kids. Brought in the new year down there in Miami, Florida, one of the very few places here in the U.S. of A. that is not like 30 degrees or below. However, I did see that it's going to be snowing in Tallahassee and Jacksonville. Very odd. I don't know what's going on right now, but like only 10% of the nation, again, is above 30 degrees. And here in mid-Michigan, here in Michigan, period, we're looking at, you know, with the wind chill factor, we're looking at below zero temps, at least until sometime next week. All right, so bundle up. And also, you know, I can't help but think about those who don't have homes around this time of the year, those who are homeless. I saw a report this morning talking about homeless shelters across the nation doubling due to the cold out there. I encourage everybody out there to donate to those homes so that everybody can be safe during this very, very cold time and uncharacteristically cold time of the new year. All right. But in the meantime, I want to talk about the Michigan football program. Oh, I have been waiting to get to this because I was really shocked at what happened on New Year's Day between the University of Michigan football program taking on South Carolina in the Outback Bowl. Ray, I see you. Ray from Indiana. Ray is one of the biggest haters of the Michigan football program, and I'm curious to get Ray's thoughts. Ray, stay right there, but I just want to put everything in perspective right now. What you just heard was a snippet from the press conference of Jim Harbaugh right after Michigan completely blew it in the Outback Bowl in Tampa Bay, Florida. 23 unanswered points by the South Carolina Gamecocks. They stormed all the way back to stun the Michigan fan base. And, you know, you look at that game, Michigan had a 19-3 lead. I'm sitting there watching that game, and I'm sitting there kind of getting bored, to be honest with you. I'm like, all right, well, you know, South Carolina isn't that great. I kind of, you know, I wouldn't be shocked either way. I will say this. I would have been shocked if either one of these teams just completely, you know, I would have been shocked if Michigan completely got blown out. I would have been very shocked in that game. And I really thought, you know, especially looking at the very beginning of the game, Michigan had a very good opportunity to end the year on a high note despite how bad this season has been for the maize and blue. And I'm sitting there watching a 19-3 lead, and I'm saying, all right, yep, they're just going to kind of coast into a win, and the Big Ten is going to finish on a very high note in the bowl season, 8-0. That's what I was looking at for the Big Ten, which performed remarkably well with the exception of the Michigan Wolverines. But a 19-3 lead, 19-3, folks. And then the mistakes began to roll in one play after another. And how about, you know, if this didn't kind of really put in perspective just how things were going badly for Michigan in that second half, how about the Sean McCune 3rd-and-1 call, which I couldn't believe when watching that. That one moment really summed up everything. Michigan had the ball on its own 23 late in the third quarter. 3rd-and-1. And the play was called, but the wrong personnel group was on the field. Sean McCune is a tight end. He was lined up as a running back on that play. Lined up at fullback. Quarterback Brandon Peters tried to hand the ball to him, but he fumbles, which is understandable because McCune had not carried the ball all season long. And then there was the decision for Jimmy Boy to go for it on 3rd-down with about 3 minutes left. I thought Michigan should have punted it away, put that confidence in your defense to get a stop, and give the Wolverines at least one more shot to possibly go down and tie this game up. That didn't happen. Michigan decided to go for it on 3rd-down, way back in their own territory. And the play call was just so nonsensical. It's like every wide receiver went on like go routes. Like it was like 3rd-and-20. 4th-and-20, I should say. Because it was a 4th. To go for it on 4th-down there, punt the ball away. I didn't understand that either. So there were so many mistakes late in that game. And those mistakes can be pointed directly at the coaching staff. And Jim Harbaugh, heck, he didn't bite his tongue there. He didn't blame anybody else. He put that responsibility directly on him and the coaching staff, especially on the Sean McCune play. You heard him address that mistake in that introduction. But on the final 8 drives, Michigan turned the ball over 5 times. Now, look, I'm one of those guys who believe that when it comes to the bowl season, I'll just put the bowl season in perspective. When it comes to the bowl season, 40-plus games are a bit too much. But I do believe that depending on how you perform in those bowl games to end the year, it can provide some added momentum going into the following season. Michigan's season, regular season this year, was so bad that I don't think, you know, a loss. I'll say this. I don't think a close loss wouldn't have hurt them, wouldn't have hurt the perception already, you know, what it was. You know, you go to a bowl game, you lose a close one to South Carolina, whatever. I mean, your season has been riddled with so much, you know, bad play and drama, whatever. It just kind of puts a bow on a bad year. But when you have, it's how you lose sometimes, folks. You know, you hear the old saying, a win is a win, a loss is a loss. But when you look at this loss, how you lose really can put a bad spotlight on you, especially entering the offseason. You had a 19-3 lead, and you give up that game the way you did. On the final 8 drives, you turned the ball over 5 times. There are some serious problems out in Ann Arbor, I believe. And now you take this with a bag of salt, okay? I did see that Skip Bayless formerly of ESPN, now with Fox Sports 1, you know, he has his nationally syndicated show entitled Undisputed with Shannon Sharp. Skip Bayless went on record to say that according to close sources of his, close sources of his that he trusts at the University of Michigan, those sources are telling Skip that the players are really right now getting kind of, their perception of Jim Harbaugh is really wearing thin now. It's really wearing thin. Again, you take that however you want. Again, that's an unnamed source talking to Skip Bayless, all right? Skip sometimes just says things just to get clicks and to get followers, if you ask me. But that's really interesting, if it's true, because that's the same thing that happened out in San Francisco. The players, you know, they really started to say to themselves, okay, I'm kind of getting sick and tired of Jim Harbaugh. He's overworking us. I'm not seeing any results here. They started to tune him out. And it's amazing when you look at the tenure of Jim Harbaugh. I got into this big debate with my stepdad about this when we were watching that bowl matchup against South Carolina, because he's a Jim Harbaugh guy. Why? I have no idea. And we really started to dissect why so many have been big on Jim Harbaugh. Why did those out in Ann Arbor look at Jim Harbaugh and say, oh, yeah, he's going to lead us to the promised land in year one? We are going to be national championship contenders now that we have the great Jim Harbaugh. Why? Why did you think that? Well, due for numerous reasons. Many were very impressed with what Harbaugh was able to do at San Francisco in the NFL. The development of Colin Kaepernick. And that's why a lot of people look at Jim Harbaugh, and due to multiple quarterbacks for that matter. I mean, heck, he did the same thing with Alex Smith. A lot of people looked at Jim Harbaugh as like a quarterback messiah. He's able to really hone in on quarterbacks and develop quarterbacks. But he hasn't been able to do that at the University of Michigan. Heck, in many ways, that has been the biggest downfall of the Michigan football program during Jim Harbaugh's tenure. They have not had any consistency behind center. Wilton Spate, John O'Korn, Brandon Peters. Dud. But you look at what he did at San Francisco coming in, the development of Colin Kaepernick, whose numbers took a huge nosedive after Harbaugh left, but he did take the 49ers to a Super Bowl. There are many coaches that can't do that. There are many coaches that just still dream about the Super Bowl. They've been coaching in the league for so long. And by the way, how in the heck did Marvin Lewis get another extension with the Cincinnati Bengals? He's 0-7 in the playoffs. That's another conversation for another day, though. But there are so many coaches like a Marvin Lewis who dream about getting to a Super Bowl, but Jim Harbaugh was able to do that despite the loss. San Francisco, then again, they took a huge nosedive after Harbaugh left. They were horrible after Jim Harbaugh left. He also did a pretty good job at Stanford prior to that. And prior to Stanford, did a great job at San Diego as well. Heck, at San Diego, they finished, 4-0 in the conference in back-to-back years, 11-1 overall in 2005 and 2006. He finished with a record of, 29-6? 29-6 at San Diego. Went to Stanford, really turned that program around. They went 12-1 in his final year at Stanford. Won the Orange Bowl that year. Finished second in the Pac-10. And in his, I will say this, in his first year at Michigan, I mean, you turned the program around coming out of the Brady Hoke era and you win 10 games. That's pretty good. I think Jim Harbaugh is a good coach. But to call him, a coaching messiah, that's going to come in the door and lead you to immediately become a national championship contender, Michigan fans had an unrealistic perception. The best that U of M has finished in the Big Ten is third. They have not even entered the Big Ten championship dance, let alone won it. 1-5 against, you guys know these numbers, 1-5 against Michigan State and Ohio State. The only thing that Jim Harbaugh has won during his time out in Ann Arbor is the offseason. That is it. The trips to Rome. The satellite camps. the Jordan brand deal, the sleepover at a recruit's house, the playing pickup football with his shirt off, the signing with the stars. It's all been just a lot of glam and no wham. You got to win. You got to win, especially when you take over the winningest college football program in the nation. And he just has not done that. He got ran out of San Fran after 4 years. And now he enters year four with the University of Michigan football program. And I get the feeling that Michigan fans are not looking at all of the antics. They're going to be honing in on whether or not you win or lose. And I think there are some serious problems with that roster from top to bottom. I should say serious problems more so, even more so than that, with the coaching staff. Because those mistakes that were made in late game situations for U of M against South Carolina were coaching mistakes. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. The $7 million per year savior named Jim Harbaugh. He has to win now, folks. Shea Patterson, if he gets approved by the NCAA, which it looks like that's going to happen, the transfer quarterback from Ole Miss, if he gets approved, he could maybe be the missing piece. Looking at what we saw on New Year's Day, I would not hold my breath. I want to get to Ray from Indiana before we hit this first break. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. We also have Dave from Wyoming online, too. I want to start with Ray, though. Ray from Indiana. Ray, how you doing, my man?
God is so great. He's so powerful. What a beautiful. Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year, Ray. Happy New Year. Happy 2018.
I hope you had a nice Christmas.
I did. It was great. I hope you did, too.
I was watching the Bullies. And I said, well, they picked their opponent. They got to pick their opponent with all their money, get South Carolina to beat them up so they'll say they're back. And they're up 19-3, and I said, I'm ready to turn it off. I think they're going to kill them. And they fumbled a ball down on the two-yard line. I said, well, God, we're going to need a few more fumbles, and here we get five turnovers. And Jimmy Boy, what a great coaching job. This is the third time this year he's went for it, fourth and one or two, with 3 or 4 minutes left and failed all three times instead of putting the ball with your great defense. And then you let the tight end run the ball, and he's never run the ball all year, and he fumbles the ball away. There were so many clown things that Jimmy Boy did. You know what's happening, sir? They're running scared down there. They know Jimmy's got one more year. Bye-bye, Jimmy. It's almost over for you.
do you think this is going to be the last year of Jim Harbaugh at Michigan,
yes.
Ray?
Yes. You look at his record, 1-5, 1-10 against top 10 teams. You think that's going to hold up another year, buddy?
And I tell you what, you look at his overall record at U of M right now, Ray. I mean, he's 28-11 overall as the head coach at U of M. It's really identical, really, really almost identical to Brady Hoke.
Rodriguez, too.
Yep.
What was
it's
Rich
crazy.
Rodriguez? I know he probably won one game out of those first six games with Michigan State and Ohio State, didn't he? Brady Hoke must have won one game out of six games with Michigan State and Ohio State, didn't he?
I believe he had the same record as Jim Harbaugh through six games against Michigan State and Ohio State. It's very, very close when comparing.
You know why, sir, they haven't fired him yet? Because he did so many good things at those other universities. They know the Messiah is their last hope. I told them, I called them down there. I called them again, and they hang up on me. They put the tape machine on. I say, you tell those bullies to humble themselves and meet me halfway and apologize. I told them 11 years ago what was going to happen. That's 53 losses in 11 years since they fired me. Sir, they're 2-8 against Michigan State, 1-11 against Ohio State. They've never went through that kind of in their whole cycle of their 150-year history or whatever it is.
Yeah. One more year, Ray. All right, my man Ray from Indiana.
One more year. Goodbye, Jimmy.
Ray from Indiana, my guy. Real quick before we end our first segment A here and invite Deshaun Tate to talk some college basketball live here on Current Sports, I want to get to line two. We have Dave from Wyoming. Dave, Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year, and hope you had a great holiday.
Thank you so much. You as well.
Other than having to sit with that Harbaugh fan.
Right. you can say that again, right, right, Dave?
Well, we all have our crosses to bear. That's yours. I spent mine with my I went out east and spent some time with my daughter and her son-in-law and his family, and I had to listen to everything bad about Nick Saban because his father's a dyed-in-the-wool Auburn guy.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the hate is real when it comes to Nick Saban. Yeah.
Made my MSU son and I, who are alums, look minor league.
Right.
But one, I guess I'll just three quick points. One, okay, Harbaugh went in, and the excuses I heard initially from now I'm hearing from my Michigan friends are, well, you know, he just came in too late. He wasn't able to save recruiting classes. To which I remind them that Jim Harbaugh didn't resign from the San Francisco 49ers until hours after his last game.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Brandon, who was no favorite of the Board of Regents or major donors, he didn't resign until Halloween of the same year. And it was no way David Brandon was going to be able to bring Jim Harbaugh in and say, hey, we're going to give this guy Nick Saban money for not doing nothing, because they already didn't like him. So it took a new athletic director to get enough people on board to give him that contract,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, right now I think is golden handcuffs, because very few NFL franchises are going to give him a $1 million-a-year life insurance policy that he can borrow against interest-free plus a $7 million salary
mm-hmm. yeah,
and associated bonuses. Secondly, I wish people would just leave the myth of, A, the quarterback whisperer. He hasn't been able to find one yet. Secondly, if you look at Shea Patterson, his numbers are kind of pedestrian in the SEC.
Yeah, so a lot of it has to do with
I don't know if they're going to have magic Harbaugh dust that'll go on him, and suddenly he's going to be brilliant there. You know, right now, given their offensive line, his I hope he can run for his life.
Yeah.
And lastly is, when are people going to get off the myth of Don Brown, the defense genius?
Mm-hmm.
But Don Brown's defense this year, A, I think it's a bit of a one-trick pony. If your team can run good counter plays and counter, as Michigan State showed, two good counter plays, one being a screen pass, everybody buys the farm. So did Franklin. You know, they ran six touchdowns against him, and three of them were on misdirections where, you know, Barkley would have run for god dang 200 yards. The field had been longer. It was, you know, insane. And I just think that Don Brown is a sort of a one-trick pony.
Overrated. I think he is, too.
Everybody's got the video on him. Everybody knows that he has a minimum of 10, possibly 11 guys committing for the first time, being overly aggressive. And there aren't that many dumb coaches in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I
or in college football. So this idea, and I talked to my Michigan fans, well, you know, it's the offensive fault. They need a new coordinator. Harbaugh just got to get the right coaches. I'm thinking, you're paying a guy $7 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to him to find the right coaches.
I hear
Saban won a national championship in year three. Urban Meyer won a national championship in year three. Those guys seem to be able to recruit quarterbacks to play to their system.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. One guy goes down, thank you very much. The next guy goes in.
Next man up.
Hardly skip a
yeah.
So, hey, we'll see it. One last thing. Basketball, going to be an interesting time. Being number one, I'd be much happier if it was, you know, in April and we were celebrating after the Final Four. Right now, it's...
It means nothing right now, but yeah. Tom likes it. I like that take. Dave, thank you so much. Always bringing the heat, man. Appreciate it. All right, let's hit our final break. And speaking, I do want to throw out this as well to end the conversation on U of M football. I do want to mention this: the bowl collapse against South Carolina. That collapse means that Michigan will kick off next season September 1st at Notre Dame, having not beaten a team with a winning regular season record in 700 days. Let that marinate while we hit this first break. When we come back, we will talk with Mitt Michigan's very own, Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter, producer, and host for CBS Radio down in Atlanta, Georgia. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, as we roll into segment B. Ian Hawley, current sports engineer, a bit new on the job, doing his thing like a chicken wing on a string, as we say back in the D. How you doing, Ian?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, dude. How was your break?
It was fantastic. I went down with my close family to see my grandparents in Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
And the weather was beautiful there. It was like 85 the whole week.
Right.
I was actually wearing shorts and a t-shirt and like sweating outside. It was like a very nice change of pace.
Beautiful, right?
Oh, yeah. And then coming back to Michigan was fantastic. Back to -4 degrees or whatever it's been the past few days.
Right. I got back from Florida. So we both were in Florida over the break. I was there just for New Year's. I was in Detroit for Christmas. But yeah, coming back, I mean, I actually went, you know, not to rub it in our listeners' faces, but I went golfing. Oh, boy. I played two rounds with my stepdad down there, back-to-back days leading up to New Year's Eve, and it was like eight, like you just said. I mean, 80 degrees and sunny.
Perfect down golf there day.
Perfect golf day, right? Oh, it was beautiful. It's a mental trip, though. When you go from that, you know, and you hop on a plane, and then 2.5 hours later, you get off, and it's like below zero. So it was a rude awakening.
Yeah, the winter blues are a real thing, man.
A real thing, but I will say this. I'm happy to be back, though. You know, anytime I take, you know, like 3 days off from work, I'm like, all right, it's time to be productive now. Time to get back on the grind. I love my job, all right? Speaking of a man who loves his job, it's Deshaun Tate. College basketball reporter, producer, and host for CBS Radio down in Atlanta, Georgia. He now joins us to talk some college hoops. Deshaun, how are you doing, my friend? I know it's a little cold in Atlanta right now.
First of all, happy 2018 to you, Al. I'm excited about the things that the new year is going to bring. It has been a little chilly. Real quick before I get started, real funny short story. I talked to my grandmother the other day, wish her happy new year. I said, hey, Grandma, how's it going? And she's telling me everything's going well, but they've got a warm front that's going to be surprisingly coming through Michigan, through Lansing. I said, oh, okay, you know, I'm thinking, you know, probably about 20, 30 degrees. She said, yeah, a warm front came through. It got up to about 8. degrees, Al.
Right.
And I'm like, really, Grandma? And she's like, yeah, really? No, wait, I'm sorry. A correction. I'm like, yeah, Grandma's in her mid-80s, so she might have been miscorrected. She said, no, it actually got up to 9. I said, okay, Grandma.
1 degree
but
more.
I tell you what I did say, Al. I told her that regardless of the fact, it could be, you know, the beginning of January, national championship here in Atlanta for college football. Georgia hasn't won one in almost 40 years. Alabama's got the name, Nick Saban, and everything else. I said, I'd still much rather, surprisingly, said no one ever, I'd still rather be in Michigan right now around my people, man. Michigan State, number one in the country.
How about that, right? And I want to get to that in just a moment. But, yeah, you just mentioned, because I wanted to use that as kind of a, you know, a starting point here in this conversation with you being down in Atlanta. I mean, yeah, the national championship comes there, you know, on Monday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I know the place is going to be rocking. I mean, what's the atmosphere like out in Atlanta leading up to the biggest game in college football?
Well, it's crazy just because there's a ton of SEC, you know, either way it goes, if you're an SEC fan, and maybe not as much as the other two schools, then, you know, you're going to come out on top either way. But the atmosphere is not as crazy just yet as it's probably getting ready to be within the next couple of days. I would imagine by the time we hit tomorrow or Friday or something like that, I can imagine it's probably going to get a little bit more nanas. However, there's going to be a lot of Georgia. Alabama travels very, very well. And, you know, the good part about it for me, of course, it's no college football national championship game, but for NCAA tournament implications, maybe Georgia playing Alabama in college basketball coming up on Saturday, ironically enough, too, which is a very, very big game between two teams that will likely be on the bubble, and this could be a big factor going into the tournament, you know, coming into the next couple months.
So you get a nice little appetizer in the college basketball world between Alabama and Georgia, and then 2 days later you get to check them out on the football field. Pretty cool, right?
That's right. Yonte Maiden versus Colin Sexton. Must-see TV in a sort of sense.
Great stuff. All right, Deshaun, let's talk about, you know, the Spartans surpassing Villanova for the number one ranking after, you know, Duke and Kansas lost 3 weeks ago. The Spartans were number three at the time. Voters moved the fourth-ranked Wildcats to the top spot, and now you look at who's number one now, and it again, it's Tom Izzo's Spartans. 14-1, moved up to number one in the poll that was released on Monday, receiving 43 of 65 Associated Press first-place votes. Following previously top-ranked Villanova's loss to Butler on Saturday. Is Michigan the number one team in college basketball going beyond what the AP voters think?
I do believe that Michigan State is, in a sense. I mean, we talked about it when I came on to your show getting for the Champions Classic, State Farm Champions Classic in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I think it's they've got it right. Whether you put Duke at one, Michigan State at two, Michigan State at one, Duke at two, I think those are the two top teams in the country. I think it's hands down. I think the consensus for the most part will probably agree. Being able to see Villanova recently, I think that you can definitely do a little bit more than sprinkling their name in. Just because of it didn't surprise me to see Villanova jump Michigan State a few weeks ago prior to the loss against Butler, just because of everything that Villanova has been recently. Plus, they had an undefeated, you know, record at the time. So it wasn't nearly much of a surprise to me. However, probably the bigger question, and of course, this is kind of a moot point at this point, but, you know, had Arizona State won the other night against Arizona as an undefeated team and being right behind Michigan State, could they have jumped Michigan State to be number one? Now, of course, they lost that game, and none of it matters except for the fact that Michigan State is number one, and even that kind of really isn't, you know, too big of a deal. It's nice to be able to say that you're number one for however long, but in the end, you know, what matters the most is cutting down the nets in San Antonio the first weekend of April.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, you bring up Arizona State, you know, number three Arizona State losing to number 17 Arizona, and then number 10 TCU losing to number 12 Oklahoma on the same day as Villanova. That still leaves the 1976 Indiana Hoosiers as the last team to finish a season undefeated. There you have that, Deshaun. So, and you look at Michigan State, you know, I mentioned in our headliners that Nick Ward has just been in an absolute tear since the benching at Rutgers, actually. And, you know, Tom Izzo got a lot of criticism, as you saw, after that game, saying, why not play Nick Ward? You know, he was on the bench. He was not really in tune with the rest of his teammates. He was a bit upset that he was sitting on the bench. But, you know, there was a method to the madness. You know, Izzo was trying to send a message to Nick Ward. And since, he's been great. He has been fantastic, Deshaun. You know, he tied his season high in points and rebounds in that 111-61 win over Cleveland State. And then he goes 9-for-9 from the floor en route to 21 points in a 108-52 win against Savannah State. Now, again, you're playing Cleveland State and Savannah State. Not the best competition in the nation. But still, Nick Ward has been so in tune with his game. He's playing within himself, playing so well. How impressive has this stint been in your eyes as it pertains to Nick Ward?
I think it's definitely been somewhat impressive. Like you said, you're talking about the competition. I mean, when you're playing up against the Bible College, that's not going to cut it, you know, realistically. But there's some guys who are out there on some other teams who are not playing up to, up to par in their expectations. So regardless of the team, you know, the opposition. So, you know, you definitely want to give credit. I'm a little curious of a few different things. Number one, Miles Bridges is supposed to have 31 points against this team and 33 points against this team. But I need Miles Bridges to show up. And I know we're talking about Nick Ward, but Nick Ward is not my concern. if I'm Michigan State, a little bit more outside of the turnovers, is just there will become a game where I'm afraid that Miles Bridges will be relied upon to give production, because so far Cassius Winston is probably, you know, the I think he's the best. He has the best three-point percentage or something like that in the country. I mean, Joshua Langford has been shooting lights out. McQuaid from the corner, if he lines that up like a haircut, I mean, it's over. I mean, the bigs have been playing well. But what happens when everything is in a funk and they really, really need and relying on Miles Bridges? He doesn't – there's no question about it. I don't think that he's looked like the Miles Bridges from last year, and I don't want to harp on him too much. We're just kicking facts around a little bit, Al. And then on top of that, Miles Bridges also – I mean, I'm afraid it might look like his draft stock may have slipped a little bit. Now, we know this.
You think so? Well, this early, you know, Deshaun, and you know, you look at Nick Ward being named Big Ten Player of the Week. You know, prior to that, you know, Miles Bridges was named Big Ten Player of the Week. You know, he had back-to-back great performances. And you look at Bridges' production, he averaged actually 25 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, shot, you know, a little over 64% in two games against Houston Baptist. He had 33 against them. And then, you know, he followed that up with 17 points and 9 boards against Long Beach State. Now, again, as you stated, Bible College, right? Houston Baptist is Long Beach State. Same thing for Nick Ward. Not playing the greatest competition. Exactly. But I do see where you're going with this, because I've stated, you know, prior to that week against Houston Baptist, I said, Deshaun, that I think Miles has been deferring a little bit too much to his teammates, because he knows this team is so deep that he's like, all right, I don't want to take every shot. He's that type of kid. He's so unselfish. But, you know, when it comes down to it, Miles is the best player on this roster, and you want to see more him become more aggressive, right? That's what you mean, right?
Absolutely. And I want to throw one more thing out there, too, if you don't mind, Al, and some of the Spartan fans that may be listening. And I'm not sure if you guys have noticed this much, but does it seem like Tom Izzo is taking a little bit of a different approach? I mean, yes, if, you know, he's working the refs like usual from time to time, but when this, it seems like he's trusting in this group a little differently than he has in the past. When some of these guys go out there and mess up, or the ball accidentally kicks off their shoe and goes out of bounds, or just, you know, guys aren't necessarily boxing out the way, he tends to kind of let his experienced role players kind of take over without yelling and screaming and griping on them so much. And I'm not sure if you've noticed that approach, but I'm kind of curious to know if you like it or not. I'm not trying to interview you here, Al, but
no,
I'm not
sure
if I'm the only person that is seeing this, because I kind of like it, but I like the fact that Izzo is taking a different kind of approach in terms of just trusting in his players a little bit differently.
Right. No, I definitely see where you're going with that one as well, Deshaun. But you know what I really, really liked? I have loved how Michigan State, no matter who they're playing and no matter what the final score has been, you know, we saw Tom, it may have been the Houston Baptist win. After the Houston Baptist win, Tom Izzo comes in the presser and he is just so upset at everything. And he's harping on the unforced turnovers, and he's harping on, the production of certain players here and there. And again, the aggressiveness of Miles Bridges and the defense and so on and so forth. I mean, you would have thought he lost by 40, not won by 40. But I think Izzo realizes that again, come Big Ten play, and again, the Spartans will play Maryland as they get back to Big Ten action and really begin Big Ten action tomorrow night at 8 p.m. against Maryland at the Breslin Center. He knows that those little things against smaller competition will become bigger problems if you don't nip them in the bud early. So the way he looks at the game is a bit different. But, you know, Sean, due to time here, I want to get to this question. I want you to kind of look at the Big Ten for us, because a lot of people are looking at the Big Ten like me and saying, okay, you got Michigan State and then everybody else. Is there another team out there that can really push Michigan State?
Minnesota.
And why is that?
I just think that Minnesota, I think that they're a physical team. They're really tough to play at home in the barn. And I'm sorry, I didn't want to cut you off, but
no, you're good.
I felt it in my spirit a little bit, I guess, if you will. but Minnesota, they're tough. They're very well coached. I think that in some cases, Coach Pitino can be kind of vulnerable to being outcoached. But between Lynch and Nate Mason, I mean, they've got bench players. They've got hungry guys. They've got slashers. They've got shooters. They've got bigs. They've got good guards. They don't turn the ball. I mean, they do have some mental lapses from time to time, and not only mental lapses, but they are extensive, very much like Michigan State. They don't just make, you know, a couple mistakes here and there and then, you know, make up for it in a few possessions later. They kind of are continuous. But that is the other team outside of Michigan State. I think Purdue is just a little bit overrated. I know everybody loves Purdue, but Minnesota, I think, is that team. And I think that's where Michigan State will get their first Big Ten loss.
And final, okay, and final question for you, Deshaun. You know, my goodness, Oklahoma super freshman by the name of Trae Young. He's really become the toast of the season, putting up numbers that could go against some of the best players in the sports history, let alone this season. Trae Young, what makes him special, real briefly?
Just his ability to get his, to have his 30, have his 40, get his assists, make teammates better around him, and win. You get a lot of cases where guys aren't winning, but their stats look from top to bottom look great. And then other guys aren't necessarily getting involved and getting better as players. Guys are getting better as players. He's operating the offense. I mean, he's controlling the flow, the tempo of the floor. He's doing it all. Bedlam is going to be a really good one tonight versus Okie State and Gallagher Iba. But just what he's able to do, the fact that he's able to make everybody around him better and get his numbers and win games, I think that's where you have to start talking about a guy, potential player of the year.
Deshaun Tate, you make us better here at Current Sports. Appreciate it, brother. College basketball reporter, producer, and host for CBS Radio down in the ATL. Deshaun, have a good Wednesday, my man.
No doubt. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, we have 30 seconds left on tomorrow's Current Sports. We will address the Detroit Lions firing Jim Caldwell. Who will be the next man in charge of the Honolulu Blue? We'll debate that. We'll also talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame candidates and so much more. You have been listening to this first Current Sports of the new year. Have a great Wednesday afternoon. And as always, be easy, people.